Amen. Thank you so much, Mrs. Oliver, for the beautiful message and song. I certainly thank the Lord for Brother David and being a friend of Kenny, and you certainly appreciate your family and your wonderful children. I know she must have a very active part to have good-looking kids and behaved kids, and but thank you, Dave, for whatever you contribute to that. I appreciate that. It's a joy to be at Fellowship Baptist Church, and God must have put some special people here just to make folks like Jeanette and me feel great when we come here, because you all have done that every time. Wonderful, wonderful people, starting with Pastor Freeman and his wife, Sharon, and thank you all so much for what you mean to us and how you make us feel, and all the families. I don't know all the names here, but you all certainly make us feel special. We appreciate that. And by the way, we're not uncomfortable wherever we go. We've been in churches of all walks of life, every size, all kinds of makeup. But one thing that we know people, and there's some wonderful, wonderful people here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and we certainly thank you all so much. Keep it up. God certainly looks down from heaven, and he is really pleased with what he sees and the people that he chooses to be able to do the work of God. I want to thank Brother Thompson so much for his hard work with the missions team. We have a missions team in our church. We've had some great folks working on, and they take a lot of pressure off of the pastor to be able to have men and women to get involved in the missions team of a great church. And we certainly thank Brother Thompson and just his hard work and his love, and appreciate. I had the privilege of serving along with his dad for many, many years together in the same area there in Northern Virginia. And your dad must have passed some of that down to you, because you certainly have a good spirit about missions, and we certainly appreciate all that you do for this church and for the work of God. I'm happy about little Elijah. Pray for him this morning. Pray for Michael and the family that God will work. I know when you were grandparents, you worry about those grandbabies and their parents. And so we certainly thank the Lord for that he's doing better. Hope he gets well real soon. And I trust that God will continue to work in a special way. Continue to pray for us. We kind of get used to this pandemic has changed. We're so used to traveling all the time, and now we don't travel as much and drive a few places. But we had just a few meetings that we determined that we weren't going to miss. This was one of them. And we have, I guess this is the last one I have actually scheduled. I have some that we're supposed to do. But my wife said, "You've dragged me all over this world for so many years." She said, "I don't like any place better than I like home." So I've even had to do things. I had to learn how to pack for myself. I've had to learn how. I mean, I'm no dummy, you know. I just take my suits and I'll match the ties up the way she used to, and I put it on the hanger and put the tie on and match it up. So I've done some things that I haven't done. When you've been married 57 years and get married in 20 or so years old, and you have someone that does all of that for you and do all the shopping and everything, and then you have to learn how to do it because she just says, "I'm not traveling anymore now." So I'm even learning how to cook. I'm fixing meals and things like that. But you pray for us, and we're having a great time enjoying the Lord, and we've had a wonderful time here, and that you could not make us feel any better than you have. And we certainly thank the Lord and want to say publicly, we love your pastor and his family, love this church, and thank God for what he's doing here, here in Madison, Virginia. And you have a lot to be thankful for. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and I want to talk to this local church that I've come to love a lot and share with you some things that I trust will just be a blessing. And as we think about missions and thinking about what God wants us to be involved with, I want to look at Proverbs chapter 3. You'll find your place there. And once you find your place, we're going to read several verses there. We're not going to turn from it. We're going to take these verses here and stay right here tonight and share what God's laid upon my heart that I trust will be a blessing to you. Proverbs chapter 3, and let's stand together if you're physically able to stand, and then I'm going to begin reading here in verse number 1. I want you to listen as we start here. We're going to go over 5 points here. We're going to take these 10 verses here. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, and we're going to divide them each 2 verses and make a point out of each of that and talk about that and build our way up. And I want you to think about what I'm going to say tonight as you think about your commitment and service to the work of the Lord. And I trust that this will be a blessing and a help. It's certainly been a help to me over the years. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Our Father, we thank you so much for this week. We thank you for a local church, a pastor, a staff, people who love you and want to be used by you for the most important work we could ever be involved in. That's getting the gospel around the world, seeing churches established. Thank you for the wonderful missionaries who've been here this week and have shared their heart and shared their burden. This church has an opportunity to partner with them, to do what you've commanded and commissioned the local church to do. I pray you bless each of them. My heart is lifted up to see a church take them on and be able to help them to get on the field. I pray you'll meet every need that they have. Thank you for the opportunity I've had to chat with them this week, and I pray you'll bless them in a special way. Thank you for this church and what it's done for us this week to encourage our hearts and things that we're thinking about and praying about, and I pray that you'll bless. Now, Father, as we are gathered around the teaching and preaching of God's holy word tonight, I pray you'll take me as your servant. I need you, first of all, to cleanse me of any sin. Then I need you to empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit, that I might be a blessing to these thy people who've come here tonight. And I'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory that's due your holy name. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I find today, I've been saved for 47 years. Called to preach 45 years ago. I've been preaching and pastoring for 42 years. And therefore, I meet a lot of people. I find myself the majority of my time around Christian people. I spend a lot of time with family. I spend a lot of time with church members. I spend a lot of time with preachers. I spend a lot of time with friends and folks. But the majority of the time of my life, I spend around Christian people. The kind of people that we were praising God for tonight and what Jesus has done in our lives. If you've ever realized what it is to be saved, you realize that it's a wonderful thing that's taken place in our lives. The only time I'm around people that are not saved is when you maybe go to a restaurant or you're passing out a tract and you're trying to witness to someone. So if I'm going to talk about experience the last 47 years of my life, most of the experience I have, I gain from being around Christian people. Here's some things that I deal with on a regular basis with Christian people. Many Christian people today are very unhappy with life itself. I don't know how you could be unhappy being saved, but I deal with people all the time. They're unhappy about family situations. Oh, the devil is attacking our families today. I find people today that are unhappy with their job situation. I'm blessed that I don't work in a secular world. But I deal with people all the time that work in the secular world, and they got to go every day and deal with all that is going on today, and they're unhappy about that. I find today that there are many people who are unhappy about their financial situation. Oh, we're living in a day where people have had a lot of pressure financially, and it's brought about unhappiness. It's brought about dissatisfaction about all the things that are happening in my life, family-wise, friend-wise. I mean, financially, we're going through these things, and I'm talking about those of us who've been washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, headed to heaven as we sang about tonight, and we talk about how well it is with our souls. And yet there's so many Christian people that are kind of dissatisfied with life. Now, I want you to think about what I just said. And then I want you to think about the fact that those who are dissatisfied financially, dissatisfied with family issues, dissatisfied with friendships, dissatisfied with all the things that are going on in the world, those are the same people that Almighty God wants to use to reach the world. I mean, those who are dissatisfied with what's going on in life. And if we don't master those problems, if we don't realize that the God who saved us knew exactly every issue I would have in life, every problem I would have in life, and this all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God still decided he's going to use Christian people who've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. I think about that. I've been involved in missions a lot. I've been in a lot of places, served on a mission board and support a lot of missionaries. And it saddens all of us who have a heart for missions that it seems like we're losing ground. We have less men and women being called into the mission field. More and more missionaries coming off the field. We don't have the kind of money that we need when missionaries have to take 2 and 3 years to get support to go where some of us had even thought about going. And we have to deal with that all the time. And you wonder sometimes, what can be done? How can we be effective? How can it be the best for God if I'm dissatisfied with life and all that is going on? I want tonight, at the end of this conference, to speak a few moments on the subject. I want to give you from this passage from the wisest man that ever lived, the man who had everything. I mean, he knew what it is to be rich. He knew what it is to have power. He knew everything. Challenges the son how to have a satisfied life. Let me tell you something. The people today who go to the mission field, who give money, who pray, who do what needs to be done to get the gospel around the world are people who are satisfied with this Christian life enough where job won't stop them, problems won't stop them, what Jesus has done has been so wonderful till it's worth everything I have to do to serve him. Hey, let me tell you something. It's not just by accident people leave this country. People quit their jobs. People sell their business. People get rid of their resources to go someplace where they have to raise their children on a strange field, do things they've never done before. Something happened to bring them to a point in their life where they just are satisfied with this thing called Christianity and this Savior who died for us. And now we belong to him. So Solomon gives us here a biblical pattern for a satisfied life that I guarantee you every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who has followed this pattern of life has no problem saying, I'm satisfied with what I got in Jesus. And what he wants me to do, I'll do. What he wants me to give, I'll give. Where he wants me to go, I'll go. He wants me to pray, I'll do that. Because I just got something I couldn't get anywhere else. And nothing I ever had before is any better. So let's look at this biblical pattern of a satisfied life of a Christian that ought to get us in a position, whatever God asked us to do, I can do that because I'm satisfied with what I have in Jesus Christ. Let's look at the first couple of verses as point number one. Solomon says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. How do I get to a point in my Christian life that I'm satisfied? Solomon says the first thing you have to do is keep my commandments, he reminds Solomon. I mean, keep thy law, he says, forget not my law. You know what he's saying? My son, everything you do in life, let it be guided by the Word of God. If I'm going to be satisfied in this Christian life and serve God to the maximum. I'm a firm believer that every man, every woman, every boy and girl ought to maximize his or her potential in serving God. I mean, maximize my time. Be as effective as I can be. And it begins, Solomon says, forget not thy law, the law. Keep my commandments is what God wants all of us to do, that I would have a better life, a quality life. Why is it so important to keep his law? You know what? Everything we do in life ought to be guided by the Word of God. You know what that tells me as a Christian? I ought to learn it. I ought to love it. I ought to listen to it. And I certainly ought to live by it. Or in a missions conference, what ought to be? Ought to be listening to what is preached. Ought to be listening to the presentations. Ought to be gaining something from the law that's going to make a difference in my life, because I'm looking for a satisfied quality of life. Now think about it, life itself. And two things it tells us in this verse that kind of help me be excited about life. He says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Why? Here's something it'll do for you. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Two things will happen if I keep the law. It will lengthen my days. I thought the right diet and the right exercise will help me live longer. Well, God says, I got something else that will help you live a little bit longer. How about keeping my commandments? You keep the law, and it will lengthen your days. He goes on and says, for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Well, let me tell you something. Nothing in this life is more important than having the peace of Almighty God. He says if you want to have a satisfied life, you can't have it if you're in the habit of not keeping my commandments. All the attacks and all the things that happen in life, the psalmist put it this way, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. How easy it is to get offended today. God said, let me give you an answer how to handle that. Keep my commandments. They will lengthen and strengthen your days. I want to have a good quality of life. Let's start by keeping his commandments. You know, we are the most exposed group of people in fundamental Christianity today than everybody else who claims to be a Christian. I mean, we are Bible-believing Christians. It's the very foundation of our life. It's how we raise our children. It's what we do. It's where we go. I mean, it's all to us. We need to learn it, love it, listen to it, and for heaven's sakes, live by it, because it's going to help me, who God wants to use, to be in the frame or mind of life where I'm satisfied being a child of Almighty God. Secondly, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. If I want to have a satisfied life, that no matter what circumstances I'm going through, I can be used of God, maximize my potential, I need to keep his commandments. And secondly, I need to develop some character. I need to have some character in my life. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Notice, if you would, the products of character. He said, mercy here is talking about being selfless. If I want to be the person that God used, the preacher that God wants to use, the deacon that God wants to use, the church member that God wants to use, I've got to develop some character. And the products of character starts with selflessness. Paul put it this way, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of God. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, in Matthew 6:33. I mean, I want, keep in mind, life is a mess today. And sometimes it's just a dream. But as we heard, heaven is a reality. And I've got to understand, God has chosen us. God has commissioned us. God wants to use us. And we're going through a life, and the more we are dissatisfied with what's going on in life, the less I'm going to be effective for God. So I want to build a life that's satisfied. Keep his commandments. Develops some character. Why is that important? Self-mercy is being selfless. It's not about me. It's about other people. Can you imagine how effective we can be for Almighty God if self gets out of the way and I'm focusing on others? So the products he's talking about, he says, mercy here is selflessness. But then he says, truth. Truth has to do with sincerity. If I'm going to be used of God, I've got to be selfless. I've got to be sincere. After all, I'm a tool being used by God, and I cannot allow all that's going on in life to cause me to not be the most effective I can. Verses 5 and 6. I'm talking about a pattern for a satisfied Christian life that can be used of Almighty God. Keep my commandments. Develop some character. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If I'm going to get to the point and talk about the goal is to get to the point when God wants to use me, where I'm not letting everything else keep him from using me because I'm so unhappy about what's going on in the world. If I keep his commandments, develop some character that's going to deal with truth and sincerity, then I need to learn how to have true confidence. And these verses here, Terrell tells me about what true confidence is compared to often things what we get our confidence from. He said in verse 5, trust in the Lord. God has saved me, and my trust, my sincere heart ought to be in him. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. If I'm going to be used for God the way I need to be, I need to have true confidence. That true confidence is I've got to depend upon him and distrust self. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Goes on in verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him. My desire has to be from the Lord. And if I'm dependent upon the Savior, I distrust self, my desire is from the Lord, then he goes on to say in verse 6, and he shall direct my path. It's not about where I'm going. I'm in this for where he wants me to go. So I need confidence. It can't be in my ability. It can't be in my resources. It can't be from the family I belong to. It can't be because I'm a preacher's kid. It can't be because I have any position in life. I've got to learn to trust in the Savior, distrust self. His desires ought to be my desires, and he will direct my path. You know why? I want my life to be satisfied with what he's done to me, that he can use me for his glory. Can't do it if I don't keep his commandments. Can't do it if I don't develop some character. Can't do it if I don't have total confidence in him. Number 4, verses 7 and 8, he says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If I'm going to be living a satisfied life as a Christian that God wants to use to evangelize the world, I got to keep his commandments. God, help me to love your word, listen to it, learn from it, live by it. God, help me to develop some character in my life. Help me to be known as a man, woman, boy, or girl that's selfless. Oh, that's sincere in what I do. God, help me when things get rough. Help me to have real confidence in my Savior, distrusting self. Your desires become my desires. I want you to direct my path. But according to verses 7 and 8, here's a fourth thing that must happen to have a satisfied life of serving to the Lord. I need to avoid being conceited. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Peter puts it, 5:8 puts it this way, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due times. Now, in verses 7 and 8, he talks a little bit about not being conceited. Keep in mind, I'm walking through life from the time that I got saved to be what God wants me to be to reach a world. If heaven is wonderful, we sing about going to heaven and preached the other night about Paul was longing to get there. Heaven's a reality. It's already set. But God left us down here on earth to be vessels that he can use to get some other folks to go where we're going. All right? So I've got to be the best. We're not going to live in a world without pressures and problems. There are going to be family issues and friendship issues and all kinds of problems. But I've got to be in a point where those things don't distract me from the main thing. The main thing is to be the best vessel I can be. So I'm saved now. So Solomon's passing on some advice to his son. He says, forget not my law. Keep these commandments. Okay, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I've got to know what God commands me to do. The very moment I get away from those commandments, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If he wants to use me, he's not going to use me if I start violating his commandments. We are without excuse because we are Bible-believing Christians who hear the word of God preached in clarity, simplicity. It's not opinions. It's not philosophy. It's the Bible. I've got to make sure I listen and learn and love it and live by it. Why? I'm trying to get to the point where this Christianity is so satisfying to me, I'll do whatever God wants me to do. Now, as I move along the way, I've got to develop some character. I need that mercy. I need that to be selfless because I'm going to be dealing with all kinds of people and I need to be concerned about them more than I'm about myself. And I need to have some sincerity in my life. I need to have confidence in my Savior. I'm going to need him. I can't trust in myself. Can't be my desires. Must be his desires. Because I want him to direct my path. But as I move along to that point where I need to be, I need to avoid being conceited. And if I avoid being conceited, it says in verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Three things he says in those verses will happen if I avoid being conceited. First of all, I'll have some humility. Oh, do we need some humility today? We need to learn how to be humble if we're going to be used of Almighty God. Humble servants. Then he said in the latter part of that verse 7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. I need to have a little holiness in my life. God says, if you want to be the best for me, I want you to be humble, have enough reverence and respect for me to say no to sin, no to Satan, and yes to me. And if you have a little bit of humility, keep in mind, you are my servant that I saved, that I called, that I commissioned, that I want to use to reach the world. In order to do that, I want to see some humility. I want to see some holiness. I want you to reverence and respect me to say no to sin, no to bad habits, no to these things. And if you do that, he says in verse number 8, I'll make you healthy. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. The idea is, you know what I'll give you? Strength, hope, and joy. Now, let me tell you something. There isn't a Christian in here that's going through a battle that doesn't want a little hope, a little joy in our lives, and some strength. He says, I got it all figured out. It's all figured out. I know what I got when I got you. I know you couldn't figure that all by yourself. You were shaping in iniquity when you were born. Came in this sin with not the ability or the know-how to be the vessel that I need. Everyone, I'm going to help you out. I want you, when it's time for me to call you to go, when it's time for me to get you to give, I want you to be so satisfied for what I've done in your life that you have no problem with that. But you got to keep my commandments. You got to keep them. You got to develop some character. You got to avoid being conceited. You got to have complete confidence. Now, everybody in here agrees with everything that I said, and probably everybody in here is trying to do that. How many want to be at whatever point of life you are? If God were to call you, God tells you to do something, God wants you to pray, God wants you to give, you'll say, I want to do that. If that's you, raise your hands. I want to be that way. Well, let me tell you something. Every day, I'm dealing, me along with many other pastors, people, not lost people, Christian people, are just dissatisfied with Christianity and what's happening. Whether it's a family issue or financial issue or friendship issue, it brings us to a point where we are stymied and it affects our service to the Lord. And you would agree with me, we need to keep his commandments. Because if we don't, we're not going to be satisfied. Can't be, it's impossible. We need to develop some character. We need to be sincere. We need to be selfless. You agree with that? Amen. We need to have true confidence. We know enough about the Bible that we need to depend upon the Savior. Distrust self. You can't follow self. We understand that we want his desires to be our desires. We understand that we can't walk in our own ways. We want to walk in his ways. But here's the fifth point that I want to leave us with in this missions conference. Keep his commandments. We ought to do that. Develop some character. We ought to do that. Have true confidence. We ought to do that. Avoid being deceived. We ought to do that. But no Christian who's trying to do what I just read can ever truly be satisfied unless we do the fifth thing, and that is honor the Lord with your capital. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burn out with new wine. I can never truly be satisfied in my Christian life to be all God wants me to do or be if I don't learn to give to him properly. Y'all got quiet on me. Everybody was okay with the others. I've got to learn to give. Giving properly. Some of the happiest people I know in Christianity are some of the most giving people you'll ever want to meet. And so many people today try all of these other things and agree with them. But you cannot be satisfied enough to be all that God wants you to be if we don't learn to honor the Lord with our capital, with our resources, with our finances. God owns me and God owns everything. And I need to learn to give properly if I ever expect to gain the prosperity that God has for me that makes me happy. And I want to close with giving you what I believe every Christian who wants to maximize his or her potential in serving to God, it's going to touch your pocketbook. No matter what you think, it's going to do that. There's enough Bible that you already know to give properly. Here's what I consider, here's what I taught, which I preached, which I practiced when I was a church member, which I do all the time. I really believe I can fall on my face right now and start praying. And there's some things that I have to start confessing every single day. I can never say to God, I love him the way I ought to. Always pray, God, help me to love you with all of my heart, with all of my might, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my spirit, with all of my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. I pray it every day. I never feel I love God as much as I need to. But I never get on my knees and have to confess, God, I'm sorry that I didn't give. I'm sorry that I didn't honor you financially. I don't pray that. So I'm thankful today that I learned 3 weeks after I got saved the value of honoring God financially. Here's what I believe is how we ought to properly give if we're going to be satisfied as a vessel God can use. I need to start, first of all, by paying God. We talk a lot about a tithe. The tithe is the Lord. I need to pay God what's already his. You see, tithing doesn't make anybody spiritual. It just makes you obedient. So at least if you tithe, at least you go back to point one where you keep his commandment, because a man shouldn't rob God. Agree with that? Or to start paying my tithe. That's the first piece. The second one is, ought to give in a way that I prove something to God. I call that an offering. You see, I can not even be faithful to church and tithe. That's just obeying the word. But when I start giving an offering, I'm proving God. It takes a sacrifice. I'm willing to give up something because I'm so appreciative of what he's done in my life. So proper giving is paying God. That's my tithe. Ought to give an offering, and I ought to be able to do that. And by the way, I learned 40-some years ago, every year, God helped me to, the tithe never changed. 10% of everything I earned belonged to the Lord. But when you start giving an offering, and by the way, you can't go from one year to another year without seeing the goodness of God. Well, I'll be able to pay an offering. And thirdly, I ought to give it a way that is pleasing to God. That is something I'm not commanded. That's where my missions come. Still today, the largest financial gift I give is to missions. I've learned over the years to give more to missions than any financial obligation I have, including a very nice house that I live in, because I'm satisfied with what he gave me. I don't regret that he called me from the business world to be a preacher of the gospel. I don't regret. I've seen the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God. And I want to be in the best position. I don't want to be to the point in my life where I can't be used of God because I'm not totally satisfied because I'm robbing him. I'm not giving to prove how much I love him. And I'm not giving in a way that is obedient. Not only obedient, but I'm giving in a way that is not commanded, because I've learned to love what he loves, and that's the souls of mankind. These verses have helped me and helped many people, folks in our church and places I've been, because I see too many Christian people today that are dissatisfied with what's going on in life, which ought to be the best thing that ever happened to us. And I wonder sometimes if we didn't get off track at the very beginning, we didn't keep his commandments. You heard something preached, you didn't obey it. He convicted you about something, you didn't get it right. We ought to start there. Maybe there's just not enough character there. I'm not as sincere as I need to be. I'm not as selfless as I need to be. Maybe I don't have real confidence, which is trusting my Savior, distrusting self. I want his desires to be my desires. Because I don't know how to walk in this life. I need his direction. God help me to avoid being conceited. I don't want to be conceited. I want to be humble. I want to be holy. Because I want to be healthy. I want strength and peace and joy. And I certainly don't want to be dissatisfied, not where I need to be, because I'm not honoring you with my capital, my money, my finances, which you own, which you want me to pay my tithes, give my offerings, and give to missions that the world might be used. And I want to be so satisfied with life until I'll give, I'll go, I'll pray, I'll do whatever you to do. That's a biblical pattern of living a Christian life that leads me to maximizing my potential and serving, Almighty God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.